in some of our New York churches, our brothers and sisters there don't applaud during worship. But what do? They wave their bulletins. So let's all wave our bulletins. Thank you very much. The Lord is risen. What a great message. Now that's a number of times in the last 7 or 8 days that we have uttered those words. Certainly Easter morning. And then earlier in the responsive reading, and now we utter that great message that we proclaim to the world and to one another. The Lord is risen indeed. I was sitting at the table this past Monday, the day after Easter, the usual time, 5:45 or so, in a time of devotions, doing my journaling, the reading of the Moravian Daily Text, and in prayer. And as I read the daily text for the day, it suddenly occurred to me that there was something happening. And it took me a while, but I finally was able to identify it in one word. Energy. There was still an energy present from the day before, from all the wonderful messages, the music, from all that was a part of that great celebration. Energy. Energy was alive, and energy was well. I'm sure that you today can sense some of that energy, and that there are still reminders around us of our celebration last Sunday. The Easter lilies. And I'm sure the music was again wonderful and beautiful as it always is here at Ephraim. And I might be even sensing something that is drifting over from that area. Would it be the wonderful aroma of Moravian sugar cake? Was it served here? Good. I wonder who prepared and baked that sugar cake.
Joyce Gerdman.
Wonderful. I wonder how many of you just sat at the table, looked at that plate, or however you got that sugar cake. And some of you may have chosen the one piece because of its characteristic. Do you know where this is going? It has the deepest hole of all that wonderfully melted and then hardened sugar and butter. A delectable, delicious bite. I did. How many of you did that? Nobody's going to admit it. All right. More importantly, there are other things that we should remember from last Sunday's celebration, whether it had been in a sunrise service or later on worship here in the sanctuary. The question is, do you still feel and sense that energy? I felt it in the soul this morning. Powerful messages of a God who is not remote, a God who is not out there somewhere, but a God who is very active in our lives, here and now, at all stages of life. I really do think there's something to this Easter energy. Energy that it came because we invested of ourselves in our worship celebrations. Energy that comes in celebrating these great truths in community, not isolated, but together. But most important of all is the energy of new life and hope that is found in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He lives, we live, we are alive because of his victory over death. Now, in the church calendar, we had Palm Sunday, and then Holy Week, Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, Great Sabbath, and Easter morning. How many of you know what this day is also referred to, this Sunday after Easter? Anybody have a guess? Well, would you believe it's called Low Sunday? Any idea why that would be? Well, it's kind of hard to believe that after all of the preparations and all of the celebrations and all of the good messages of hope and renewal and all of those things that are so important, this would be called a low Sunday. Well, I have to tell you, after 38 years in the parish and now almost 50 years in ordained ministry, I recall all of the services and the responsibilities of Lent and Holy Week with continuing requests for pastoral care. And then ensuring that the shut-ins and the homebound all received communion where they were during that Holy Week. I have to tell you, when Easter Monday came, I felt wiped out. Empty, in a sense, but yet filled. It's just an amazing kind of a feeling. But it was time to rest. And so I can understand when pastors decide that they're going to take the Sunday after Easter off, even as Pastor Dawn has, and well that she has. A break is deserved. And we know that, too, the attendances in churches tend to drop off just a little bit after Easter. But what a good representation here this morning. What a good representation. And today, we need to understand that while very, very humanly and reasonable, that some of that energy is going to ebb a bit. This is a day to grasp a hold again onto that same energy and to ask the question, what does it mean to live as Easter people? What does it mean to live as Easter people? There are three texts among the four assigned to this day from the Common Lectionary. I have chosen the three to be used that were read just moments ago. Each one of those scripture readings responds to the question, what does it mean to live as Easter people? The Psalms serve as a wonderful devotional. And so we would say, first of all, that Psalm 16 says that Easter people exhibit faith and trust. There are two key passages in Psalm 16. I keep the Lord always before me. You show me the path of life. These two verses speak of focus. Your focus and my focus in life and this Sunday after Easter, the encouragement to keep this God ever before us through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord who shows us the path that we are to walk. Now, anyone who has ventured out these past weeks for a hike well knows that along the way comes choices. Are we going to take that branch of the path, or are we going to take that branch? Each day, you and I are faced with ethical and moral and spiritual choices to be made. There is the path of reading, studying, and understanding, and using the Holy Scriptures as they should be used, not pulling out certain texts to prove the position we previously hold. This is a statement that I have made many places. I could have even made it here in the past. But it's one of those quotes that bears repeating again and again and again. And it comes from Dr. Craig Atwood. Craig is an associate professor of theology at Moravian Theological Seminary. And he says this of the Moravian way of using the Bible. Jesus does not point us to the scriptures for answers. Rather, the scriptures point us to Jesus. And it is in Jesus that we find the answers. Another way of asking, what would Jesus do? You and I have the choice of how we're going to approach the things that are coming to us in life. The path of optimism or the path of doom and gloom. But because of our faith and trust in God, we can look for and find the good even in the worst of times. I recently visited with an individual who kind of gave me a litany of all the recent physical difficulties that had come upon him. And when he had finished, I thought, oh boy, this is going to be a long, long rehearsal. But what he said was most profound. You know, yeah, these things aren't the best, but I know that there are people who have it far worse than I. He took the high road. He chose to look at the good in life. He chose to be optimistic, no matter what the outcome may be. For my friends, the Easter people exhibit a spirit of optimism based in faith and trust in God, the God who is ever before them, and His Son who points out the paths we are to walk. 1 Peter tells us that Easter people live in hope. What does it mean to be hopeful? What is hope? If we read the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, it says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." Hope is more than wishful feelings. Hope is a reality. Hope is a confidence and a trust, unwavering in God. Romans 15 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." So, dear brothers and sisters, we are a people of hope if we claim ourselves to be Easter people. How does that play out in the day-to-day life of the church and the family? Well, when someone brings up a new idea, Easter people respond by saying, "You know, I never thought of it that way. Tell me more about it." Or, "You know, maybe that has some possibilities. Can you fill in some of the details?" Rather than what often happens is, "It'll never work." Or the seven last words, "We've never done it that way before." Here's the one that's really the worst of it all. "We just don't do things that way around here." I am suggesting that Easter people welcome new ideas. I'm suggesting that all ideas should be given their time, and time will tell as to whether it's a good idea or a not so good idea, but at least need to be heard. I think that Easter people thrive on new ideas. New ideas need to be met with an attitude of looking for the possibilities, the hope that there may be in that idea God's will, God's way. Easter people live with an attitude of hope, hope that the Apostle Paul tells us does not disappoint us. I know that we disappoint God. I know that we disappoint one another. I know that I am disappointed in myself. But God never does disappoint us. And finally, Easter people live in confidence and assurance with a sense of inner peace. And you and I well know that there is enough around us that could be termed in only one way as frightening. Environmental issues like fracking, depletion of fresh water worldwide, nations in turmoil from Middle East to the Ukraine, from Tanzania to Afghanistan, school shootings and stabbings, drugs in our communities, and not just with youth, but with adults as well. All of this is frightening stuff, and if any of you are frightened by this, know that you are not alone. You have good company. I find much that is frightening. The real question is, what are you and I going to do with that fear? How are we going to react? How are we going to respond? Remember what Franklin Roosevelt said? Nothing to fear but fear itself. And if you play that out, how true it is. Great wisdom. Fear is both hopeful and helpful, but we know that at the same time it can be very destructive. Helpful in keeping us alert and cautious when we need to be, but at the same time when fear becomes immobilizing or we project our fears out into someone else in a destructive way, not helpful at all. Here comes the good news. In the midst of all these fears, my friends, there is a place of rest and calm and quiet to which we can turn with confidence and assurance. There is an old hymn. I want to share the words with you, and I'm sure it's going to trigger some of your memories as well. There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God, a place where our Savior meet near to the heart of God. O Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God, hold us who wait before thee near to the heart of God. I keep the Lord always before me. Remember when Jesus spoke to the frightened disciples? We heard it earlier. There were those disciples after the death of Jesus who were gathered in that room in silence, and there was a heavy, heavy pall of sorrow upon their hearts. The door was locked for fear of what might happen to them. And suddenly, all good stories seem to have suddenlies. Jesus was among them. And he saw their fear, and he said, "Do not be afraid, it is I." The disciples out on the Sea of Galilee, in that horrible storm, Jesus sleeping through the whole thing. I find it amazing he didn't fall overboard. But yet, when they cried out loud enough, he awoke and he said, "Why are you afraid? Peace, be still." When we are in the midst of the difficulties of life, why are we afraid when there is the Christ who is alive among us saying to you and to me, "Peace, be still, do not be afraid"? Our Roman Catholic sisters and brothers have a wonderful hymn that they sing again and again and again, "Be not afraid." If you pass through raging waters in the sea, you shall not drown. If you walk amid the burning flames, you shall not be harmed. If you stand before the power of hell and death is at your side, know that I am with you through it all. Be not afraid. I go before you always. Come, follow me, and I will give you rest. Easter people simply cannot be cowed by their fears. We must act and think not out of fear, but out of trust in God. We need to realize that there's always the Christ there with his hand out to you and to me, wanting to grasp that hand and lead us through whatever moments we might find ourselves in, joys and in sorrows, in achievements and in failures, in moments of denial, in moments of trust. Serving my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the Moravian Church as a bishop is an awesome experience. It is a high calling. It is humbling. But I have to be honest with you, there are times when amidst all the joys and the satisfactions and the fulfillments that come, I wonder, why me? I find myself in situations that tie my stomach into knots. I find that I'm privy to far more information than I want to carry. There are moments when I'm all too aware of how I could and should have done things differently. Moments when, quite plainly, I was wrong. And so I find myself asking why. Why in the world, O God, did you allow those folks back there at the Synod of 1990 to elect me a bishop of the church? Oh, so conscious of my feet of clay. But always there before me, I keep the Lord before me. And I sense that there is this God who says, I am the one who called you to ministry. I am the one who called you to this ministry. And I want you to be faithful and obedient to me. I cannot do what I do in any aspect of my life as a parent, as a husband, as a sister, brother, clergy, a friend to all of you. I cannot do those things unless I know that God is ever before me in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ. It can be said in no better way than was played for us so wonderfully in the duet, because He lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth living just because He lives. Can we just sing those words together? Do we know them well enough? 706, if you want to turn to the hymnal. We're just going to take that refrain. Give you a moment. We're not going to play it. We're just going to do it a cappella and follow it with prayer. 706. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. Lord God, keep that message ever before us. May we hear it in the morning when we rise. May we hear it during the day. And when we go to rest, let that word be in our minds and hearts as we fall to sleep. Lord, it is a great watchword for each day. And in so doing, we can truly be Your Easter people. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.